All right. Oh, I'm excited to preach a message that's been on my heart in this last season to you this morning. I want to start with a question. How many of you have a desire to do the will of God? Yeah. Come on, right? I feel like that's something that, like, if you're a real believer, is a desire of our hearts. We all want to do the will of God. It's literally in the Lord's Prayer. You know, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is our daily, should be our daily desire and daily prayer to do the will of God. Amen. But a lot of us, I think, I don't know, that's a big, kind of feels kind of big. Do you ever kind of think like, am I? How do I do that? Do you ever feel that? I've thought that many times before. Well, I always am looking for keys in the scriptures of how to actually do that, because it is my desire. And so as it's my desire, I really want to understand how to do that. And so I was reading this passage recently in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. And I found a key, and I want to share it with you today. Verse 16 says, rejoice always. That's the whole verse right there. Rejoice always. All right, verse 17. This one's really good too. Pray without ceasing. End of the verse. Well, that's powerful right there. Enough said. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I'm going to read that over again. Rejoice always, comma. Pray without ceasing, comma. In everything, give thanks. For these things, that's Katie's translation, is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I was like, wow. Okay, rejoice always. I started studying the word rejoice, which is a verb, and it means it's an action. And it means to be cheerful or to have joy. So this isn't like, oh, you know, in my heart I have joy. No, like it's rejoicing means to outwardly, actively express our joy. It's an action. It's a manifestation of our internal world to rejoice. And so as I began reading this, I want to read some more scriptures. I was hoping they could come up on the screen for me so I don't have to turn all the pages because I didn't mark it. But Philippians 4:4. Let's see if we can get that one. Awesome. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Psalms 18:24. I just want to lay a foundation of this as a biblical principle. So we have Psalms 118, verse 24. You can turn there while I wait or I go. Find out which one happens first. There it is. Okay. No, Psalms 118. This is why Apostle Tom always marks all of his scriptures. Tell me when it's ready. Oh, I will go there. All right. It's hard with only one hand to turn your pages in your Bible. There it is. Okay, they beat me. All right, 24. We got to go. There we go. Okay, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Romans 12:12. Let's see. All right. I'm going to. Okay. Romans 12:12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Amen. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Wow. I want to go to Habakkuk 3:18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Romans 5:3-5. Okay, awesome. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Keep going to verse, there we go. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. And verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So these tribulations, so I want to end with my husband and I's favorite verse, but James 1:2-3. Come on, it's my favorite. Most of the time. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Wow, those are some passages. So we're not supposed to just rejoice when things are good, right? But in each day that the Lord has made, in trials, tribulations, and all those things. And, you know, over this last, I mean, in every season there's trials. But over this last year, as I like the last 14 months, pretty much since we put a stake in the ground and said we were going to Tacoma, it's been one big trial, various trials of various kinds. And so I was really meditating on this, and I started thinking about how I just, you know, sometimes it's really powerful to ask the Lord questions. Sometimes it's a little dangerous because you actually get an answer, and then you're responsible for that answer. So I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, because I feel like my goal sometimes through trials has been just to make it through, or my goal is to like not sin, like just not have unforgiveness, or like just survive it. And I'm like, that's kind of like with the Pharisees, like they made a list of all the not to do's, but the real ways of God is to do something. So the goal is not to like just make it through and not sin, but the goal is to learn to rejoice. And so I was like, man, I feel like I'm like finally like maybe out of this not do camp, because I used to really struggle with like unforgiveness and like different things. And so like I finally like, yeah, I can make it through. Oh, I like go through trials. And I was like, and I'm like, but I'm supposed to rejoice. I was like, I don't know if I'm there yet. Like, and so I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, how do I rejoice in trials? What, like, I don't understand. Like, and honestly, it was just a genuine question to the Lord of like, I don't really know what it looks like to rejoice or to celebrate when things are hard. Like, oh, I'm just so happy right now that, you know, all this is going on, you know. I was like, it feels like that would be fake. And I'm not a fake person, if you ever met me. I'm like, really not. So I'm like, so I was like, I don't know how to do that, Lord. And so he responded to me. And when he did, it just really penetrated my heart. But he said, you're not rejoicing in the trial. He says, you're rejoicing in the fruit that comes from it. He said to me, you rejoice in the growth you have from it. You rejoice in the pruning that comes from it. You rejoice in your character growth. You rejoice in the dying to yourself. You rejoice in that you become more like me. You rejoice that you become closer to me because you need me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can do that. I can rejoice in that. I can rejoice in becoming more like him. That's good news. All of a sudden, I'm like, wow. Back to James, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, if I look over the last year or all the years of my life, because there's always things going on, and I start looking at all of the growth that God works everything out for his good. He takes beauty from ashes. All these things we say, but how are we going to experience God as a provider if we're never in need? How are we going to experience him as our protector if we never need protection? How are we ever going to experience his goodness if there isn't something bad? And so it's like our relationship with God is cultivated through these fires and through these tribulations and through these things that we get to know him in a real way, and we're desperately in need of him. And so it started really changing my perspective a little bit. Now, this does not mean I'm going to begin asking for trials, okay? That's not wise. That would not be a good idea. But I will say, if you're asking to grow, you can expect them. Because there's no way to grow without a battle. There's no way to overcome without something to overcome. And so this is a part of the normal Christian life. And so this is something that I really feel like what I wanted to really speak to today was how to be perfected through trials. Because how many of you have had to go through a trial more than once? Yeah. Okay. And you know, there's multiple ways to go through trials. You can go through trials and come out hard. Harder. You can come out wounded. You can come out more broken. Or you can come out like gold and more smooth and more gentle and more tender and more gentle and more like Christ, more humble. And so I'm like, I wanna learn to go through trials that way. Not the way where I come out busted up, you know, missing a leg or something, because I don't want to have to go through things more than once. I feel like I'm semi-smart. I'm like intelligent enough to know I do not want to go through the same trial more than one time, right? So today I'm going to talk about how to go through trials and how to allow the Lord to perfect us through those so we can actually rejoice in them, because I feel like there is a way to have like sorrow through trials, meaning I think the only way to really do that is if we don't learn and grow from them. That would be sorrowful. And so I feel like part of the rejoicing actually comes from allowing God to use the process for our good. And so, because there's a way to come out. What's the rest of that verse? He works all things out for your good, for those. Yeah. Meaning, not everything works out for our good when we don't actually follow his ways. Okay, so it has a condition on it. And I've preached that message before a while back. And so I feel like there is a way to go through a trial and we just make it worse and dig a deeper hole. So I want us to avoid that. So I want to first start by talking about the different kinds of trials there are, because there's actually different various kinds of trials. And so I wanted to kind of hit them and explain them. So the first one I have, which is one we all are familiar with, it's trials that we create ourselves. How many of you guys have ever done that? Yeah. You create your own mess through our sins or through different things, but we actually create our own mess. That we actually still creates a mess that God will actually still help us out. We'll walk through that. But one of the trials that you can create is your own mess. Like Apostle Tom mentioned earlier, like when we live a life of sin, we are sowing bad seed. We're sowing bad seed. And then we reap that harvest. And it's not good. And so, but that's from our own seed that we planted. Does that make sense? So these are from our own sins, our own ways that we can create trials in our life. The second category I wrote down was natural life challenges. Okay, so these are like, you know, I'm a woman, so I was thinking like childbirth. This is like a natural challenge of life. It's not like, it's not spiritual warfare. You know, like I did create that, but meaning it's just, it's something hard you go through in life, but everyone has to go through it. right? So getting married is a natural life challenge. It's going to come with its natural challenges. Maybe learning to drive, graduating high school. Like that's something that in our context and culture, everyone should do, but not everyone does, right? So there's like certain life markers that we're all supposed to like arrive to and overcome. Does that make sense? What's important about these natural life challenges is actually some people don't make it over them and they get stuck. Have you ever seen that? So these are natural, they're normal. You don't have to graduate high school because you did something wrong, right? You see the difference? Like, it's not like it's a spiritual warfare or something bad that happened. It's just, it's a challenge of life, like to learn to get along with others. Sometimes having your first job and learning something new can be a challenge, right? Well, some people, you know, they get their first job and they like never, they don't learn to work with people. And that's a normal life challenge. Like there's no way to avoid working with people. No matter how much you pray or fast or anything, like these are like normal life skills we have to learn that are challenging at times, right? Does that make sense, that category? And we have to learn to overcome them. And just like with anything, we have to have Jesus to overcome them, or we do end up getting stuck. And then we never can have a job, or we can never move forward, or we can never be in a relationship, or things like that. And so I've put a whole category of just like natural, normal life things that what that means is most people experience. But that doesn't mean that they're not challenging nonetheless, right? So then the third category I made was spiritual attacks. So there are literally thrones, powers, dominions, witches, warlocks, things like that, that are going to come against us. There is witchcraft attacks. There are these things. And I'm hoping Apostle Tom, hopefully in this next season, will have a sermon on that, because we've really been studying that. And it's been something the Lord's been on. I'm not going to go into it today. But in general, there are spiritual attacks, right? And so we know this. And so this can be something that comes against us, and it could be considered a trial or tribulation because it's an attack. Category number four, I put persecution. Persecution is a trial. And Jesus promises that we will have persecution. Now, this isn't necessarily meaning persecuted like communism, like put on the stake. But how many of you guys, when you guys got saved, your friends and family or people that were close to you persecuted you for your faith? And how many of you did that hurt you? Would you consider that was a very hard time? Or a hard season, like you had to navigate that, how to walk through the loss of friendships or things like that because people persecuted you, or when you followed the Lord's voice on something and people mocked you. How many of you, I feel like every single person in this room has had to have gone through some level of persecution if you're following Christ, because God will make us do some crazy things. You know, He might ask you to pray for someone on the street and they laugh at you and they persecute you and they're the ones you were praying for, and I feel like I would say the deeper I've gone in Christ, the more persecuted I am. The farther I go and the more committed I am to Him, the more I'm persecuted. So persecutions, this is real. Your coworkers might persecute you or mock you or say things. And the question is how do we respond to those things? And so category number five is when people sin against us. So someone hurts us, they betray us, they leave us, they reject us, they do things. This is a trial that we will go through. Even Jesus went through this with Judas and Peter, but denying Him. Like we're gonna have people in our life that do things that can hurt us. And so this is a category of trials. And then I have number six, which I called my Job category, the mystery box. Things happen, and we don't know why. Things happen. We go through things. Someone passes away. There's things that we're going to go through that I would consider trials, and we don't always have a root or understand where it came from or why it's happening. But nonetheless, it's still a trial. And then seven, because you have to have seven because it's a perfect number. I put like a multiple choice test, all of the above. Have you ever had all of these hit you at one time? Yeah, I have. Yeah, where it starts out as a natural life situation, and then you fall for a trap and you make a mess out of it, and then that person you make a mess with does something back to hurt you, and then they get persecuted because of it, and then next thing you know, spiritual warfare joins the party, and next thing you know, you're pressed from all sides, right? Okay, I don't know about you, but this just seems like life at times. So, where you can be pressed seven ways at one time. Financial struggles, marriage struggles, struggles with your kids, all at the same time. You ever been there? Yes. Trials of various kinds. What they do is they squeeze us and they shake us and we see what gets to come out. And this is the part that is oh so good. Oh, so good. So I'm gonna get a list of things that trials will expose in us. So this is what's so good is that if everything was just hunky-dory, like perfect, you know, like just everything's great all the time, I don't know that we would really be very strong, like as believers. We would still be babies. And so I feel like there's like a misconception in the church that like once we get saved, everything's just gonna be rainbows and like perfect and all that. And it is for like 3 weeks. You know, I don't know about you. I feel like the Lord is so gracious to us. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna let them just enjoy this moment for a second. And then I'm gonna begin dealing with that. And then that. And then that. Now my boot camp starts. Yeah. Yeah. You sign up, you get your signing bonus. And then you have like 2 weeks hanging out with your friends and family before you go to boot camp. And it's all going to be great. That's a great example. And then you get to boot camp and it's like, wake up, soldier, you know, and it starts. So, and then now we can, the thing about this is how many people do you know, they get saved and like the first trial that comes, they run back. This is Israel. So then so many times they wanted to go back to Egypt because they thought that God was going to just give them the promised land. They thought they were just going to walk right in. But that's not how the story goes. And that's not how it's going to go for you. If you want to grow, it's not how it's going to go. It has not been my story. Now, I want to make it very clear that this is not that, like, this isn't God bringing these things. Okay, it's very important. But this is that God does allow these things and he works them out for our good. Does that make sense? Like Job says to God, hey, can I test him? And then Satan says to God, can I test Job? And the devil comes to do that, right? But God allowed it. Because what did it do? Job had an opportunity to test his faith and his faith. Was he going to give up on God? And so these are things that we know that God allows, and then he uses them to perfect us. Does that make sense? So that's how even the Satan thinks he's winning, but then God uses it for us to become like him. And so this is a part of the normal journey and process. And if we can allow the Lord to actually work it out for our good, we can go through the process a lot easier and quicker. And we can win the battles, right? In the Old Testament, when God was giving Israel instructions for the battles to take the promised land, he gave different instructions for every city. Every time they tried to use the old way for the next city, they lost. Or if they disobeyed and took idols or did things, they lost. The victory comes by hearing the voice of the Lord and having him navigate you through each season and each trial. And so this is super, super important. So in the trials, they will expose these things. I'm gonna go quickly through this list. They will expose our fears, okay? So fears, like any type of fear of there not being provision, fear of being alone, fear of God not coming through, fears of being betrayed, fear of whatever, you name it, there is 1,000 different fears. It could be fears of spiders, I don't care, but fears, okay? I've actually had to overcome that one, but anyways, fears. Well, I'm talking about more bigger fears than that, but seriously, those inner fears, trials will provoke those to come up, right? So we can deal with them. It will reveal, number two, doubts. Doubts in God, doubt in yourself, doubt in others, doubt in your spouse, doubt in your parents. The trials will can reveal where we have those inner doubts. It will also reveal the lies that we're believing. either about ourselves or about God or about others. And so these things are only exposed under pressure. Otherwise, if everything were great, we wouldn't even know. Okay, so then number four, it will reveal your character flaws, weaknesses. So for example, under extreme financial struggle here at work, you might not normally ever think about taking something. But in those moments of weakness, you know, when things are harder than they've ever been, you might find yourself doing something you never thought you would do. You might lie to not get in trouble. You might steal. You might do different things. So character weaknesses that are there, you might, one of the ones is it reveals if you might have any problems because by what you turn to in those trials, if you turn to addiction of any kind, it will reveal your weaknesses under pressure. What do you turn to when pressures come? It will reveal if you have pride. This has been a big one in this last season. This can be pride just of mainly of yourself, because I feel like it's in trials when we don't turn to God, it reveals our pride. It reveals if we have distrust. It can reveal sin patterns or cycles in our life. It can reveal anger. How many of you guys have been pressed and anger comes out? Yeah. And you're like, where'd that come from? Right? Well, that's good news. You can deal with that now. It can reveal if you have addictions. It can reveal if you have idols. For what I mean by that is when pressures and trials come and you're overwhelmed and you're to your max, what do you turn to? Do you turn to the Lord, or you turn to Facebook or TV or a hobby, or what do you turn to? Yeah, food, alcohol, all those things. Well, it can be anything, but that it's going to reveal your idols in your life. Because whatever you use to comfort you except the Lord, even your spouse, even if that's your first go-to instead of to God. And I put et cetera longer. Make your own list of what comes out and when you get squeezed, okay? There's many things. But what's important through this is that it shows us our cracks and our weaknesses and our foundations. And that then gives us an opportunity to deal with these things. So, briefly, I want to share the things not to do, and then I want to share the things to do, all right? And they kind of go together, but one of them is to not agree or speak death with what does come out. That's not, that. It's like, okay, that's there, but now we can go deal with it. But let's not fall into shame or condemnation or agree with that thing. I'm just angry. I'm just this. I just have this problem. No. This is an opportunity for God to show up. Amen? So we don't agree with that, but we also don't deny it or defend it. This is really key, because I know I had this happen right before we went on our vacation. We were closing on our house in Tacoma. There was all these things going on. Trials of thousands of kinds, okay? And I was at my end, like literally where you almost have an eye twitch. You know what I mean? You're like, I go on vacation tomorrow. I need to get away. And I just kind of was cracking a little bit. I was getting a little overwhelmed. And how I know I was cracking was my tone started changing to everybody. You know, when your kids are like, hey, Mom, why are you talking to me like that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Get away from me, you know, kind of thing. You're like, it's not safe around me right now. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I had a moment where I was really rude to somebody. And it was like, had nothing to do with them whatsoever, but I was rude. And I didn't even realize it for about an hour later, because I was so like, okay, I'm leaving tomorrow, what do I do, you know, okay, And then about I get with the Lord, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, he was like, you were so rude. And I was like, yeah, wow, that was really rude. Now, here's what I could have done. If only they knew all the stuff I was going through. Oh my gosh, you know, it's only because I have all these things going on. It's only because of this. That's not me. I didn't really do that. Oh my gosh, you know, no. And just like act like it didn't happen and move on. No, like I had to go apologize to that person, and I did. I was like, hey, I am so sorry about earlier. I was so rude. Like, yeah, will you please forgive me? There's nothing you did. It was all me. It's because of my own stuff going on. Will you please forgive me? And that we have to be like that, because justifying it, one, if we deny or justify it, God's not able, it's like a wall to the Lord. Now he can't deal with that matter anymore. It's like, you're like, sorry, nothing here. So he can't even touch it. And so we actually have to just say, man, I have to admit, like, frustration just came out. Rudeness just came out. Antichrist just came out of me. It was not Christ-like, all right? Like, it wasn't Christ. And so I have to deal with that, and I have to then repent either to the person and to the Lord, and then I can go to the Lord and I can deal with the matter. But if we deny it or defend it, we're not going to be perfected. So let's just not, we know God's good and he loves us and he wants to help us grow. And we know we're a part of a family. And so we could just spend a lot less time defending our sin, and we should just deal with the sin, okay? It'll save us a lot of time and energy. We'll make it through the trial a lot faster. And I like that because I don't like being in the trial. So, all right. Then I want to go into one last part of what not to do. Don't give in to your heart and the emotions that rise. When we get triggered, and it's funny because I have 7 types of trials, and I make a joke all the time frequently about being 7 ways triggered. When you're triggered 7 layers deep, you know, it's like starts small and then it gets worse and worse and worse until, you know, it's just like, oh. So when you're 7 ways triggered, and your heart and soul and everything feels everything. Now, it's okay to have emotions, but these emotions, once we're triggered, are not fully true. Okay, we have to know that. You have to know that everything you feel and are experiencing when you're triggered is not all true. It's an opportunity to be healed by the Lord. But if we give in to that and think it's true, they will rule us instead of us getting breakthrough. Okay? So don't give into it and let them rule you. You don't have to pretend like you're not experiencing emotion. I'm not saying that. But we have to take the emotions to God and let him help us with it and not just give into them and think that everything we're feeling is real. Because it's not fully real. Does that make sense? You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys all been there? Okay, so now with my few minutes left, I want to talk to us about how to actually make it through the trials with perfection. Amen? So, one. First thing is to rejoice. I'm sorry. The first one is to first turn to the Lord. Okay, now this is something that sounds so simple, but I'm going to give you a couple tips here. This is the first thing you should do when you're experiencing a trial. Not the last thing. Okay, because you'll make a lot less messes and make the situation not worse if you turn to him first. I've turned to him 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 12th before, and every time the longer I wait, the worse things get. Okay, so this could literally look like, you know, someone provokes you at work or your family in your house, no names needed to be mentioned, and you just literally take a moment and you just turn to the Lord before you respond. It could look like you're in a massive, crazy situation, like you can't pay your mortgage or something insane is going on and you need to actually go to your prayer chair and get before the Lord. But it can literally just be taking a breath, turning to the Lord before you decide how he would want you to respond. This is something that has taken me many years to begin to learn, and I'm still learning. But to turn to the Lord in a trial before you do anything else, it will save you so, 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 so much. So in that, the number 2 is to recognize our need for him. So the first thing you do, one, just in turning to the Lord, is you're actually recognizing, I need you. I need you so bad right now because me wants to respond this way. And you, that wouldn't be you. So Lord, what do I do right now? And so it's literally recognizing our need for him is number 2. Number 3 then is being humble, which is required to do step 1 and 2. But it literally is our humility before God to say, God, I need you. I can do nothing apart from you. That has been this whole last year for me. God, I can do nothing without you. Like, we're so far past what Tom and Katie can do on our own that literally every single day I'm like, Lord, I need you. 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 But that's actually one of the things we can rejoice in a trial, is we're aware of our need of him. If it wasn't for the things going on and the storms and the waves around us, all the stuff, we might not be aware of how bad we need him. Amen? And so those are the first three things. They're just super easy, but it's turn to the Lord, recognize our need for him, being humble. And then step number four is to own our sin that I just mentioned, or our weakness, or to find out the root of the issue that's going on. Is that's where we have to just ask him, Lord, where did this come from? What's going on? This is more like in the time where you actually have a bigger issue going on and you just sit with him. But it's to find out what he's trying to do. The two main questions that you can learn to ask him in a trial that's going to help you is, God, where are you in the midst of this? What are you trying to do in me through this? And what do you want me to do today? Because it says, don't worry about tomorrow. And I think that's like the biggest thing that I've learned over this last few seasons, is to just, what do you want me to do today, God? Because I'm the type of person that would try to fix every trial like right away, and then I would just sometimes make it worse. I would try to fix it. Any fixers in the room? You want to fix the trial? You want to stop the trial? You want to get it through the trial? I mean, literally, I that's me. So, and the Lord has been teaching me, what do you want me to do today? And sometimes it's nothing. That's the hardest one, when he's like, nothing. I'm like, but don't you see what's going on? Yeah, don't do anything. Just spend time with me. Just rest. Just go about your day. Ignore it. You want me to ignore it? Yeah. Or he'll say, pray. He'll say, go talk to that person. Go make that right. He'll give you an instruction. But a lot of us are just, we're going through this stuff alone. We're just trying to make a mess instead of stopping and checking in with him and asking him what he wants us to do. And so in that, when we recognize what's going on inside of ourselves, if it's anger, whatever's going on, we need to make an exchange with him for the truth. So he is gentle, he is kind, he is these other things. And so that's when we have to say, okay, Lord, I don't want anger to be there, but I recognize it is. Why is it there? Why did that get triggered? And we have to deal with the situation. And when he speaks to us, he will deal with that. His words will penetrate your heart, and he will do that. And then number six was, look for any open door in your life. And so obviously we have sermons on our YouTube, our Set Free conference, and we go through all of those. But to look for why, so especially for spiritual attacks or for different things that are going on, find out why this attack is happening. Find out if there is something that opened it. Was there sin? Is there something generational going on? Is it a wound? Is it deliverance? What is it that you need? But find the open door and apply the blood and apply the tool to that. And then, of course, I put down here as number seven, but to thank him and rejoice in the fruit that comes from that. But this is like a normal process part of our life that we're going to go through on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, by season. We're going to go through various different trials. And in that, if we'll stop and turn to him and allow him to speak to us through the trial and allow him to walk us through it and allow him to take out what he doesn't want there anymore, we're going to go from glory to glory and go from perfection to greater perfection to greater perfection and become more like him each and every day, instead of going back through cycles and repeating the same cycle. Does that make sense? And then we can truly rejoice, and we'll see, instead of seeing trials as scary, we're going to see them as a source of breakthrough. We're going to see him. We're going to actually be able to embrace them and rejoice in them, because we know that God is actually going to do something great in our life. Does that make sense? We can actually go, something great is about to happen, because there's all hell's breaking loose. It's like, okay, Lord, what are you going to do right now? Because you want to do something new in me today. I can see it and feel it, and we can embrace that. Amen? And so this is my last thing I want to close with. Is don't give up. Amen. Don't stop. Don't go back to Egypt. No matter what, don't stop. Every season you're in, every time you try to step out and obey the Lord is when trials are gonna come the hardest, because the devil does not want you to obey the Lord. You decide to give something up, you bet attacks are gonna come. You try to join the school ministry, you bet things that God's gonna, enemy's gonna try to get you to quit. You try to launch a church in Tacoma, better watch out. Like, it doesn't, that's like in the moments where we cannot give up. If you're trying to help your marriage, you try to get breakthrough in your kids, things might get a little harder because the devil's scared. And if we don't give up, we're gonna have the victory. So don't give up. Go to the Lord and get on your face before him. Seek his face and ask him what he's doing in your life through this. Let him refine you. Let him prune you and rejoice. Amen? All right.
Come on. Will you stand? The Lord of hosts is with you. He's chose to make his tabernacle inside of you. Think about that. So victory belongs to the Lord, and he lives inside of you. It talks about in Hebrews, I believe, chapter 10, that they didn't, they left their home, their sojourners, they left their home, it says. And it says they didn't go back because they could have, but they didn't bring to recollection. They didn't bring to their mind their former place, right? So meaning they didn't go there in their mind. They said they could have, and they probably would have returned to it, right? So what the enemy tries to get you to do is to think it used to be better. You know, you win out to get breakthrough in your marriage. You win forward. You win, and then he brings back. Oh no! And he brings you back to where you were before. And no, I put my attention upon the Lord and where he's bringing me. Okay, I was made for war. I always say that I was made for war. I was born in it, and it hasn't stopped. I was made for it, but not all of us were. And now we're being trained for it. Okay. I always joke about the Batman movie. I haven't seen a lot of those, anything new or anything, but years and years ago, there was the one with the guy who's like Bane or something like that. He's like, "You think the darkness is on your side?" Sorry, I always like accents. He's like, "You merely adapted to the darkness. I was born in it." And I just related to that, is that the Lord has now sent me to go storm hell. But I was first raised in it. I've been through all kinds of stuff. I was raised in it. And then the Lord took me out of it, taught me a whole new way. And now I'm like, man, when hell comes, it's just like, it's an old friend in a weird way that I already know has been conquered. It's already been conquered. And so the Lord, he doesn't give me more than I can handle, but he just takes me for other people's benefit. Amen. He wants to do wonders through your life. And every little trial you're going through is going to be a breakthrough for someone else. Amen. Whether you're children, all kinds of things. So don't grow weary in doing good. Lift your hands. I want to pray a blessing over you. So Father God, we just bless your people. We ask that you make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Add grace to them. Lead them, Lord, by your Spirit. Fill them with your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ministry team's going to come forward. We only have a little bit. The next service is starting. But if there's anyone who's having an issue with your artery, an artery issue, Pastor Jared got a word of knowledge, just felt like the Lord was speaking. He wanted to heal someone. You're dealing with an issue of artery. If any of you need healing for anything, like in general, these guys would love to pray. We'll make ourselves available for you. Any counsel in the situation, something like that, any of that. Other than that, may the Lord bless you. We will see you guys next week. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much for watching. I hope you were blessed and encouraged. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for more amazing content.